Matter of fact, you guys probably haven't noticed this. You can figure me out real easy if you go to the timeline. You go to the time. Oh, yes. So wait a minute. I could ask you this, and you'd flunk it, so I won't embarrass you. But we'll go to the timeline, and you look up the Memoir of Prince Charles. I think it's the first one in the first album, 1995. Now, no one has ever consciously pointed this out. Chad had never mentioned it. I don't think anybody has noticed this. So where is it? Memoir of Prince Charles. Just a second. Memo. Okay, I think this is it. It's June 4th, 1987. Now, if you look at it... no, it's not in that memo. It must be in the second memo. No, here it is. So it's in the first memo, June 4th, 87. I do a tetrad. So on each one of the holy offices. So if you go into rhetoric, that's McLuhan. When you enhance McLuhan, you're enhancing the rhetoric world. It obsolesces LaRouche, retrieves Zappa, and when push extreme, what? You said somebody, you belted something, you made a sound.
No, that was like an echo.
Oh, okay. McLuhan, you enhance rhetoric, you bring in McLuhan to enhance rhetoric. It obsolesces LaRouche, retrieves Zappa, and push McLuhan to extreme, it flips into Mae Brussel. So you're supposed to notice... If you're doing too much, if Bob's doing too much McLuhan, he will flip into Mae Brussel. Now, then you take grammar. To enhance grammar, you do Herbert W. Armstrong, which obsolesces Zappa and retrieves LaRouche. But if you push Herbert Armstrong too much, you flip into digging McLuhan again. In logic or dialectics, you enhance that by engaging LaRouche. And that obsolesces Garrett Dean. You won't like Garrett Dean while doing LaRouche. You'll retrieve an interest in Herbert W. Armstrong and the worldwide Church of God and the 10 tribes of Israel, 10 lost tribes. But when you push LaRouche to extreme, you'll flip into something different. That's Dr. Beter. Then you wallow in Dr. Beter for a while. And then you would, it's not laid out in that order, but Beter is astronomy. So when you enhance astronomy, he's number 5, whereas Zappa's number 4, but we'll just go from LaRouche into Beter. Beter, enhanced Beter, enhancing astronomy, which is very clever of me, because with your telescopes, you look at the moon, and you'll see the relics of the Battle of the Harvest Moon, September 27, 1977. You see the Russian particle beam weapons, new stuff to see in our solar system. Now, when you do Beter, you obsolesce, you lose interest in Mae Brussel, but you retrieve cosmic awareness. And then you get sick of, you push Beter and you get sick of him, you get into Garrett Dean. So, now Garrett Dean enhances the personal mentor. Now Garrett will obsolesce cosmic awareness, retrieve Finnegan's Wake, and push to extreme, you'll flip into something totally opposite of Garrett, and that's Herbert W. Armstrong. Well, we already did him, so let's do music. If you enhance Zappa, you obsolesce Finnegan's Wake, you retrieve Mae Brussel, and when you get fed up of Frank, you go over into LaRouche. See? Push Zappa to extreme, you get into LaRouche, or at least in my case. Now, you take arithmetic. That's enhanced by Mae Brussel. If you get into Mae, you won't be interested in Herbert W. Armstrong. But you'll retrieve an interest in Garrett Dean, and then you get pissed off at Mae, or it'll flip into its opposite. You'll get back into Finnegan's Wake. And if you start really digging Finnegan's Wake and enhancing the world of geometry, you will obsolesce Beter. But you'll retrieve McLuhan, and then you'll push the Wake to extreme and get fed up with it, and you'll get back into cosmic awareness. So cosmic awareness enhances the occult. So you have the 7 parts of the trivium. Rhetoric, grammar, and logic make up the trivium, and then the other 4, music, astronomy, arithmetic, and geometry, make up the quadrivium. And the 7 together are the famous 7 liberal arts, the core of education for like 2,500 years, up till the Newton. Now, I added 3 aspects. The occult. So if you want to enhance your occult awareness, you read cosmic awareness, which obsolesces McLuhan, retrieves Dr. Beter, and you push the extreme and you get sick of the fucking occult and you start listening to Zappa. All right, so we did that, and we did Garrett the Personal. So then if you enhance Club 22, and you really get into Club 22, that'll obsolesce Club 7, but it'll retrieve Club 18 and flip into Club 14. We know that 22 is the baby boomers. We know number 14 is Generation X. 07 is the generation, the Depression generation of the 1930s. I don't know what number 18 is. Forget what that is. So if you get involved with the baby boomers, you push that to extreme, it'll flip into an interest or engagement of Generation X. So what do you think of that, guys? That's what Bob is. That's a portrait of how I work. That's my quadrophenia. What do you think of that? Never been explained before. Anybody care? Anybody have a comment?
How do we be more like you?
Yeah, you got to talk louder, Kate.
I just said, how do we become more like you?
Do you study, you do these things. You study LaRouche, Herbert Armstrong, Phineas Wake, McLuhan, LaRouche, Zappa, Phineas Wake, Cosmic Awareness, and Garrett Dean. You go into those things. As a matter of fact, I was just reading, LaRouche says the same thing. I was reading his biography, LaRouche's biography put out in, before he was famous, but he was running for president in 1979, 1980, so he, like a presidential candidate, you put out a book about yourself. So he said, if I can find it, let's see, 22, page 22. He says, he talks about how from the age of 12 to 16, he went into an in-depth study he says, the most crucial phase of my own development had been realized between my 12th and 16th year. During that period, I set out to resolve which, and he talks about himself in the third person. He says, during that period, he, meaning himself, set out to resolve which of all the known philosophers he had been perusing should be his choice. Ordering these in calendar sequence, he proceeded, rejecting Francis Bacon, Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, David Hume, Bishop Berkeley, Rousseau, in favor of first Descartes, and then preferring Leibniz to Descartes. Continuing from Leibniz and his book, The Monadology, and the Clark-Leibniz correspondence, LaRouche continued to Immanuel Kant and spent about 2 years with the Critique of Pure Reason. That was his essential educational grounding, which has shaped his development ever since. It's true. He just talks about those guys. He did it for the next 50, 60, 70 years. He says, it was on the basis of Leibniz, Kant, and then Riemann and Cantor that the writer's development, meaning himself, of epistemological rigor was principally premised. So his epistemological rigor was premised on Leibniz, Kant, Riemann, and Cantor. The crucial points of knowledge must lie precisely where Leibniz, Riemann, and Cantor and all have prescribed them to be situated in respect to the processes of thought and experimental knowledge. The solution to the problem in economic science was the crucial breakthrough, the crucial proof that the Riemann-Cantor form of relativistic space was the suitable one, and not the program of Einstein and Weyl. Now look at this. The development of the child, there's a new chapter. The thing a child must do, if that child is to develop as an adequate scientist for the period immediately before us, is to emulate my adolescent study of philosophy. Carol starts laughing her head off. The choice of titles is not the point of the business. It doesn't matter what titles you read of these guys, what books. There's a much better overall selection now than when I studied during my adolescence. It is the principle of the thing, not the titles, that is decisive. What must a child do to develop his or her, what must Katie do to develop his or her mind? She must study the way in which the greatest minds of each age have effected transformations in the quality of human knowledge in the Neoplatonic line of progress leading through Leibniz. Katie must at the same time contrast success with failure, progress with retrogression. By working to replicate the concept-evolving processes of the greatest minds in Katie's own mental processes and comparing that with a replication of the processes of failure and retrogression, Katie gauges his or her own mental processes in development with the greatest minds. This approach to education is directly opposite to the inductive method or the pragmatic method, what they do in regular schools. If one educates a child all the way to the college undergraduate level by piling up successive approximations of knowledge by the inductively or pragmatically ordered approach, the child enters the university with a certain learned accumulation of a knowledge and so-called cognitive skills, but without mind in the proper sense of that term. In point of emphasis, the child has been learning, not developing his or her mind. The only sort of writings which confront Katie with the workings of the mind in an immediate way are the philosophical and related works of the Neoplatonic writers. With such writers as a mooring point, in other words, you do the good writers, the Aristotelian and irrationalist empiricist writers can be studied for clinical contrast. Pragmatist education, or value-free regular education, or value-free educational methods must necessarily destroy the mind's capacity for epistemological rigor. And he quotes some teacher saying, every important writer has something useful to say. Sort it out when you're old enough. Roosh has met him. If you permit that sort of education, you are destroying your child's mental potentialities. Then he says, in my own experience, I was ready, even hungry, for the indicated sort of educational process by approximately my 12th year. The case of the Brothers of the Common Life, that's about 1300, and the instruction programs of Hassan ibn al-Sabah, you know, some Arab guy, probably 1,000 years ago. These two are among the sources of encouragement which suggest my estimate of age range to be approximately correct. That's 12 to 16. There are supporting indications for this in the emotional and related shifts normally succeeding one another in childhood. It is also clear that postponing such discipline to a later age is hazardous. The central paradoxes of physics and other branches of formalized knowledge concur with this estimate for age range. And he says, from the underside of scientific knowledge, from the vantage point of the silver souls, that's a category in Plato, from the vantage point of the silver souls of Plato's Phoenician myth, the central internal formal paradox of knowledge centers in all its familiar manifestations around the field-particle paradox. That's in quote, field-particle paradox, or something epistemologically equivalent to that. It might therefore be adduced, mistakenly, that some brilliant stroke of formalist insight might ultimately put the whole matter right. The problem is not, however, a formal one at root. The problem is that the viewer of the paradox in that form is no more developed than to be a silver soul. To solve the field-particle paradox, one must first become a golden soul. He's advocating an ionic program. You ascend a little bit, and then you can understand the complex mortar stuff. At first approximation, the methodological problem causing the field-particle paradox is that the mind appears to be unable to conceptualize processes italicized, as primary reality. So the mind appears to be unable to conceptualize processes as primary reality, as the elementarities of the ordering of the universe. Instead, the mind seems to insist on locating primary elementary reality in discrete things. Yet written evidence shows, beyond any doubt, that there are at least three minds among scientific and philosophical writers who overcame that specific difficulty. That's Ibn Sina, Cardinal Nicholas of Cusa, and Leibniz. In these instances, existing writings show this to be the case directly. In other instances, we have evidence of the same competence through crucial circumstantial evidence. And he quotes the concepts of Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina's concept is necessary existent. Nicholas of Cusa had something called the non-other. And then there's the corresponding conceptions in Leibniz he doesn't name. All those three are direct evidence. Cantor's reflections on the development of the notion of the transfinite are directly relevant to the same point. In all cases, the ability of the mind to conceptualize processes as elementarities, in other words, there's no particles in matter, it's a bunch of processes. The real, and that's so ionic. Ionic is showing us such processes. In all cases, the ability of the mind to conceptualize processes as elementarities or elements and to derive the determination of discrete existence from processes is developed in only one way, in the only possible way. This is accomplished by becoming willfully self-conscious of the ordering of the creative process of one's own mind, initially through gauging those processes against the processes one attempts to replicate for suitable writings of Platonic and Neoplatonic writers, and then contrasting clinically the anti-Platonic, the bad writers, the anti-Neoplatonic, anti-Neoplatonic arguments of Aristotelian and irrationalist empiricist writers. The writer's solution to the crucial problem of economic science exemplifies the same point. The trick, trick in quotes, the trick without which an effective economic science is impossible is to abandon all scalar notions of elementarity for any and all of the discrete constituents of economic processes. By a process of negation, transforming the quantities of the whole social division of labor and production into their per capita thermodynamic equivalents, and studying the economic process solely in terms of increasing the entropy for the condition of the caloric or calorie throughput per capita of productive labor and capital costs is rising. An exponential function derived from a ratio, S prime over C plus V, that is the primary parameter of the economic process of technological progress. In other words, the medium is the message. This parameter is in direct correspondence with the realization of the self-development of the creative mental process, with the lawful ordering of the universe, and also the sole source of value in the creation of wealth. The ontological features implied by that description of a self-developing process exemplify the notion of processes. So processes must be conceptualized to break free of the inherently paradoxical view of the universe to any but a golden soul. Golden soul doesn't see a paradox of the universe. In other words, break free of the fundamental antinomies of the Immanuel Kantian schema. Thus, the assimilation of Leibniz's world outlook, the intensive confrontation with Kant, Immanuel Kant, and the solution of the Kantian antinomies from that standpoint is the precondition for conceptualizing, as an original conception, the solution I developed with aid of Riemann and Cantor to the fundamental problem of economic science. Now, Katie, you didn't have a fucking clue what I'm talking about. But when you get ascended, you can read this kind of stuff and understand it. Right? So your education begins. I'm updating LaRouche's program. My stuff is, I'll say that. We don't have any fucking youth because they're not imitating me. You start doing, I never did it at the age of 12, 16, but I didn't have to. You know, I have a special case. But you fucking losers must, when you're 12 or 16, or go back and be 10 and claim you're 12 or 16, follow this program of understanding how processes are elementarities, not particles, not things. Isn't that incredible what I just said? And I just picked it out of one of the holy offices of LaRouche.
So where do I start?
That's the most...
It's just so overwhelming. Like, where to start?
I know. But see, you worry about it, where to start. You just go to LaRouchePublications.com. LaRouche Pub, I think. Whatever. Just put in LaRouche Publications. The chat will show you. The site comes up.
LaRouche Pub.
You write in time reversal in search. And a whole bunch of articles will come up on time reversal by LaRouche and other people. A year's worth of reading right there. And that's just one holy office. That's just one place. Or you can go to, Chad, do LaRouche Youth Movement. Google that, and they have a really great site with all the math and geometry and all this stuff. But anyways, we offer the best education. I mean, LaRouche stuff, you know, it's sort of, we're talking about how you think you're ascending, but you can't ascend unless you engage language and media and mortar, because that's where your ideas of what ascension is comes from. So you got to work through the images that you unconsciously think you're wallowing around in. So you work through these doctrines. And they're all the best. Nothing's better than McLuhan or Zappa and that. They're the best of those specialties. But they all flip into the other best. So, Chad, have you ever analyzed my tetrads and my own 10 holy offices before?
Your tetrads of your 10 holy offices, is that in a chart?
Yeah, that I just read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just trying to visualize it. So it's the one where you've got the holy offices listed across the top, and then below each one of them you've got the four more quadrants. Is that it?
I just read them. Did you not hear me read it?
No, but I know I heard what you were reading, but isn't there also a chart that goes with it? Like LaRouche, Oxalescu, Zappa.
Yeah, it's a chart. You go to memo to Prince Charles, June 4th, 1987, the first memo, scroll down, and what I read is all laid out there across the board. You know, it's a nice picture of each holy office and the tetrads of each part. You know, when you get into Zappa, and eventually Zappa, you'll get sick of Zappa, and you'll flip into one of the other holy offices. right? Have you looked at the memo to Prince Charles lately?
No.
Go to my timeline, go to June 4th, 1987. Yeah, my timeline. And you will see, I have at the top the 10 disciplines / programs. This is what I wrote to Prince Charles in 1987. 10 disciplines / programs. Then I spell out the aspects of a tetrad, and then I read. So you take Zappa. When you get into Zappa, you obsolesce Finnegan's Wake. You think for a while Zappa's way better than Finney's Wake, but it'll retrieve Mae Brussel, an interest in name-calling or conspiratorial top-down analysis. But then eventually you get sick of Zappa, and you'll want to get into LaRouche and go back to classical music, or the real platonic classical musicians. You see, that's so, Kate, I lay out the stages, the processes. Here I am, I did that, and it's miming with the processes that LaRouche is talking about, the processes of thought process.
Okay.
I did that 30 years ago. That's 30 years ago. I've been creating this sparsely attended curriculum in school for decades.
Is that on your five?
Look, it's
I just posted the URL in the whatever the fuck it's called.
The Achieve Radio chat line. That's right. I could send it to you. I'll take it right now. Are you on email, Kate?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so I'll put in Jermaine.
Yes, please.
And Kate? Or is it KT? What is Kate?
It's Katie.
Katie
on email.
Okay. And who else is on here? That's it. Okay. What do we call this, Chad? Bob's mind.
Solar anus. Bob's solar anus.
Email it to me, too. I want to see it, too.
Okay. There it is. I'll sign it so you'll always remember Bob sent it to you. Let me enlarge it. This new computer doesn't give me the fucking details. I don't know how to enlarge it. New computer doesn't give me the numbers. What do I have to do to make the numbers show up? Anyways, it's tiny print, but here we go. So aren't you on the chat line, Eliza? It's right there on the chat line.
Oh, okay. On the
Chad just posted it. Yeah, on the Goober, the Gib Gabber. Hey, you know what? And Carolyn's show yesterday, it's on for 2 hours and people are posting the chat line. After the show was over, a half hour later, you can still see it on the chat line, Ian comes on and goes, Lord, suffering cats. Half hour later. So I was wondering if he was listening to the next show, you know, somebody advocating angels. I mean, he kept...
I ordered a batch of the 122nd generation RNA drops today.
Good. It's a good batch. So back, so Chad, you see how it's laid out, my mind there with that picture. It's very nice.
Your mind,
laid
yeah.
Out,
that's
right?
How Bob's mind is laid out. Wow.
Yeah, like you can. I'm not a McLuhanite. I'm a McLuhanite for a while, and then I become a Mae Brusselite. Then I become a Cosmic Awareness. Then I'm into Garrett Dean. Then I'm into Herbert W. Armstrong. Of course, all that beautifully collapses into Ion. See, this is the seeds. The seeds that created Ion. This is the alchemy. Because Ion can do all that, all those topics, all those zones, and more.
I saw this posted somewhere else before. I thought this was in black and white. I've seen this somewhere else.
Yeah.
It was on another website. Because I saw this like in the late 90s or something. Was it around then? Yeah, because
yes,
it was when I was learning how to program.
Hey, Chad,
I wanted to.
It was
what?
Posted in the album Bosmic Ecology in '92. That's where it first got seen. Yeah. So
I didn't have that though. I just had the recorded version.
So
but anyway, I remember. I learned this really powerful programming language. I wanted to create a program that could do the retrievals, like it would calculate like what's the ground, and then it would flow through, like, what, it was kind of like it could predict the future by doing the tetrad.
And life in general, you're not talking about Bob stuff.
Well, this is a tetrad.
When you saw this, this inspired you.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I could create a program that could use, I could load in these patterns that you have, the 1 to 10 offices, and then the 4 levels on each one, and that would map out the rules that the software would follow to do the flipping. So it's like if such and such a figure appears in the media, then that means that it's going to flip into, like, this next thing, and it could predict the future. It could predict, like, the progression of media images by reading the ground and applying this map.
Right. And you didn't do it.
I started it in, like, 1999, and then I picked it up again when I lived in Whistler in 2003. I probably have the code somewhere, but it's actually a little bit similar to the code I'm doing now. Because it does retrievals. So it's just interesting that you brought this up now, because the last time I saw this was a long, like, probably in the late 90s.
You didn't know what it meant, though, the way I'm saying, right?
Well, you're talking about it differently now.
No, I'm describing what it meant. I'm saying the way I'm talking about, which is how I would have talked about if someone asked me 30 years ago, did you understand that's what it was showing? I don't know if it's obvious what I'm showing there.
I thought I heard you describe it before on a recording, maybe with Scott Norris.
Oh, okay. And so you then found out. But,
but it sounds like you're saying it differently today.
No, I'm just being clearer about it or something. It is...
There's a post-ion now, too, so.
Yeah, well, I'm clear on everything from the past of myself after Ion.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that stuff is sort of obsolete, so it's old, so I can turn into an art form. I can do it better because I'm less involved in it.
So if I start talking about arithmetic on here, on the show right now, you're going to take the Mae Brussel position first, and then you're going to flip into the Herbert Armstrong position, and then the position, and then the...
Like
and
some will say,
flip it to the and then you're going to flip it to the next office after that. Is that it?
It doesn't have to go to the next one in the sequence. Go to any other one. Doesn't matter. But you know, logically, you would do that if you're illustrating it.
Okay.
You would say, okay, Mae Brussel flips into this. So where's it? What's it flip into? And then you go there. Yeah, you could do it that way. Is that the way it looks? Looking at it again. No. See, McLuhan flips into Mae Brussel, but Mae Brussel's not the next one. The next one is Herbert Armstrong. So across the horizontal, it doesn't follow literally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like Herbert Armstrong flips into Marshall McLuhan, but the next part, which is logic, dialectics, is LaRouche. So
it's almost like triangulation. It's almost like triangulation. You've got three. So on this whole sequence, you got McLuhan. Oh, there's four. So, like, each one is listed four times, each one of the figures.
Oh, yeah, one, two, three, four, right.
Three, four.
They get mentioned four times.
Well, it's tetradic, okay.
But no one has ever brought this up. I mean, like, they don't say, well, I can't figure you out, Bob. You're fucking weird. Well, if they were smart, they go, well, this is how Bob's mind works. You know, this is what he does.